The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths.'" John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now, the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. So, second Sunday of Advent. I like to try to go through the readings, and I want to start with that first reading that we heard from the prophecy of Isaiah. He is preaching about on that day. The reading begins with on that day, and he says all of these different things are going to happen. And he paints this picture, this very beautiful image of what it will be like on that day. And he says all of these amazing miracles of nature, really. He says, "The wolf shall be a guest of the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion shall browse together." He paints a picture of a type of natural fulfillment, but more than just a natural peace, a supernatural peace. He's describing what heaven will be like, what that new heavens and that new earth will be like that we hear described in a few other places of Scripture as well. So Isaiah is saying that's what it's going to be like. And he paints that very beautiful picture of it, a place of peace and happiness, so much peace even that these animals who are natural enemies will be friends. Right? So that's the first reading. That's what heaven's going to be like, right? Second reading, St. Paul's letter to the Romans. What does he begin with? He says, "Brothers and sisters, what was written previously was written for our instruction." And I think he's, in a sense, talking about, or at least he could be talking about, what we just heard in the first reading. What was written previously, what you just heard proclaimed at Mass, was written for our instruction, that by endurance and by the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. He's saying, don't forget. He's saying, don't forget about what we've heard. Don't forget what was previously written. Don't forget what you've been told is going to happen. Don't forget that image of heaven that we've had described to you. Why is he telling us this? Why is he telling us to not forget it, to remember what was previously written? He says, so that we might have hope. It's very easy for us now, and I imagine for the Christians of St. Paul's day, to get so caught up in their present trials and sufferings and issues and whatever that they might forget what they have to look forward to. They might get so caught up in those things that they lose their hope. And St. Paul is saying, don't do that. He's saying, remember what was previously written. It's by endurance that we have that hope. He's saying, keep up the good fight. He's saying, keep going. This is what we have to look forward to. Even when it seems like, what's the point of making time to go to Sunday Mass when I have so much other stuff going on? What's the point of trying to live a chaste life in such an unchaste society? What's the point of trying to be nice and good to other people when most of the rest of the world isn't? And what he's saying is, that's why. Because we know, we have that hope through our faith. We have that hope through our faith that this is what we have to look forward to if we keep up the good fight. That's what St. Paul is saying. Now, the gospel. John the Baptist, the great saint of Advent. He is preaching repentance. He's telling people to repent. He's saying, turn back. And again, it kind of feeds right into these first two readings. He's saying, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what he says. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's telling people that image that was described elsewhere in Scripture, that's what we have to look forward to. But then what happens? The Pharisees and the Sadducees show up. And he gets kind of ticked off. And we might wonder, why is John the Baptist getting ticked off that the Pharisees and the Sadducees show up? He calls them a brood of vipers. And then he gets all angry. He says, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? As if to say, I wish that you hadn't been warned so that you would have been consumed by the coming wrath. He says, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? He's upset. There's a part of him on a natural level that doesn't want to see them convert. There's a part of John the Baptist that wants to see them burn for all of eternity for being the hypocrites and sinners that they were. And yet, he also knows in the back of his head that if they do repent, there is salvation for them. There is salvation for us. There is no sin too big that we can commit that God is not able to forgive. It's not like God is not big enough to forgive certain sins. It's sometimes we're just not sorry. We don't ask for forgiveness. We don't go to the parish penance service. Right? Those kinds of things. So that's why he's kind of upset, because he knows that if they convert, God will have mercy. He knows that if they repent, they can be saved. But then he paints a very bad picture of what it will be like if we don't repent. He says, his winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn. And we know from elsewhere in Scripture, the wheat is an image of those of us who have done good works. It's an image of it's fruit. The wheat is technically the fruit of the plant. It's the good. It's those of us who are doing good, who are bearing fruit. The wheat will be gathered into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Even now, the axe lies at the root of the trees, ready to chop down any of them that are not bearing good fruit. So we have this image of what heaven's going to look like, and we're told, strive for that. And we're told that no matter what you do, you can still attain that if you're sorry. God is ready to forgive anything. But we're also told, if you're not sorry, get ready for hell. Prepare for hell. Right? So, those are the three readings. Now, let me apply this to our lives real quickly. I have a checklist for you. Do you know that since I've arrived here, I've had like three or four different checklists given to me? An in-processing checklist, to this checklist, to that checklist. So I thought, let me give you a checklist, because there's a certain urgency to these readings. And as I preached last Sunday, well, there's an urgency to the whole theme of Advent. We need to be ready. We need to constantly be ready. And so, not that we want to strive for the bare minimum, but let's make sure we're at least doing the bare minimum, right? So let's use this little checklist that Father John devised. And there's a cool way for you to remember this checklist. So, Father John is from Washington, D.C. Father John likes ice hockey. What is the ice hockey team from Washington, D.C.? Anyone? The Capitals, also known as the Caps. Caps, I heard Caps. Caps, C-A-P-S. Caps, that's my checklist. Caps, C-A-P-S. Now, I promise you, get ready for this, I promise you that if you follow this checklist, you will go to heaven. Promise you that. I also promise you that if you leave even one of those four elements out of the checklist, you will most likely go to hell. You will have a very difficult time getting into heaven. Now, this applies to Catholics. You know, it's actually kind of harder for a Catholic to get to heaven than it is for a Protestant or for anyone else. Scripture tells us, tells us, of those to whom much is given, much is expected. We who have been given the fullness of the truth and all of the means of salvation, if we don't put them to use, well, we're going to have a harder time than those people to whom the truth has not been revealed, who don't have accessibility to those means of salvation. So it's pretty hard for us. So this does not apply to your Protestant friends. So you can't say, Father John said you're going to hell because you don't do caps. What I'm saying is you're going to go to hell. I'm going to go to hell if I leave out even one of these elements. But if we do all four, promise you, you will be in heaven. Caps. C-A-P-S. C, confession. And actually mean it, right? And actually intend to do better. Again, there's no sin too big. It's just that we have to be sorry for it. Then we have to really be trying harder, right? Confession. A, let me check my notes here, activities. You have to be involved. You have to be doing good works. Get involved in your parish. Come and volunteer to cook something for the parish potluck, you know, parish feast, potluck dinner, right? Activities. P, prayer. You need to be spending some time in prayer every single day. 10, 15 minutes every single day. Just talking to God in your own words even. It doesn't have to be the Bible or the rosary or whatever else. Just talking to God in your own prayer. And S, Sunday Mass. And of course, Saturday night counts for Sunday. You have to do all four of those. And by Sunday Mass, too, let me just throw this out as well. Every single Sunday, I always get a kick when I'm hearing confessions and people have those little guides to confession. They're going down the list and they say, well, I do this. Ooh, I need to work on that. And I always kind of laugh a little bit when someone says, they get to the Mass every Sunday and they say, well, I go most Sundays, so I think I'm good there. I said, whoa. No, you go most Sundays? I said, if you miss even one Sunday Mass, intentionally, right? If you're in a missile field and you can't get there, God doesn't hold us to the impossible. If you're sick in bed, if you're taking care of someone sick in bed, if you can't get there, that's different. But if you miss even one Sunday Mass, that is mortal sin. If you do it knowingly and freely, that makes it mortal sin. And that means you can't come to communion the next time you come to Mass until you go to confession first. So that's my little thing, caps. Right? Now, I'm not judging anyone. I'm just telling you the truth. This is what the church teaches. And if you do those four things, you will get to heaven. If you leave out even one of those four, you will have a very difficult time getting into heaven. I will have a very difficult time getting into heaven. So, let me wrap up. There's that urgency in the gospel today. Make sure you're following Father John's cool little checklist. Make sure that you're not just doing it for yourself. Make sure that you're bringing other people into that relationship with God. You know, our numbers here are really not as good as they should be. I'm told that we have 2,500 nominal Catholics in this parish. So not just the number of Catholic servicemen or women, but then when you add in spouses, dependents, retirees, whatever, 2,500 Catholics in this parish. So I'm not telling you to go out and convert other people. I'm not telling you to go and proselytize and bring Protestants here. They're always welcome. What I'm telling you to do is bring some of those other people who are nominally Catholic who aren't here. And if you want an excuse, tell them that Father John told me I had to do this. But make that an issue this week. Say, I'm going to work on caps myself, but I'm going to bring a nominal Catholic to work on caps. Maybe that means I'm going to bring them to Mass on Sunday. Maybe that means I'm going to bring them to the parish feast day. Maybe that means I'm going to invite them to the parish penance service. Right? But do one of those things. Work on it yourself and bring someone else along.